The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, people? This is Eating Disorder. I am the Reverend Spiro, and this week I am missing my normal hosts, and I missed them so much. Crazy Legs Conti is out being competitive eater. Paul eating his way around the city. Paul Gerard, our friend and chef co-host, is out in London, who may be joining us a little later. But we do have a friend co-host, Lux Alptrom.
Hey, nice to be here.
Lux is a writer, an educator, and a comedian, and a female entrepreneur.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Who was in charge of Fleshbot at one point, which is one of my favorite sites. And is now a consultant for sex toy companies and is doing the wonderful world of boning at Union Hall. You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, no. So Wonderful World of Boning is a comedy show that I do every couple of months. Before I was an entrepreneur and a pornographer and all of that, I was a sex educator for high school students. And so because of that, I have a wide collection of old sex ed movies, most of which are unintentionally funny. So I screen them with my comedian friends and make fun of them. So the next one is September 26th at Union Hall, 8 p.m. with Alyssa Wolf and Kevin Avery.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
This particular episode is going to be about food porn and porn and food.
Which is very much up my alley.
No pun intended.
I like eating and fucking, so we're good.
Oh, the puns are going to be going on today. And I'm also very excited to say that one of our co-hosts, our guest today is James Dean, an adult entertainer who was actually Male Performer of the Year in 2009, was described by a fan as the Ryan Gosling of porn. He co-starred with Lindsay Lohan in Paul Schrader's 2013 film The Crayons, written by Bret Easton Ellis, and also has a wonderful show on Woodrocket, and that's woodrocket.com, for those who don't know, called James Dean Loves Food, which we love, because it's very much in the same spirit as we started this show. James, you with us?
Yes, I am. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So what I'm hoping to kind of break a balance between the two parts of this show are there's food porn, and then there's porn in food, okay? Food porn being things like, I don't know, Man versus Food with Adam Richman. Now, I like that show. I know some people don't. I think that's a great show. He looks like the guy from Wonder Years. I love watching him suffer. I do. That's my favorite thing about watching. He suffers so well. Especially when they make it mean like the ghost chili or something to that effect. But there's other shows like there's Epic Mealtime on YouTube, which is, you know, a bunch of crazy Canadian guys running around making meat houses and, you know, fast food lasagna. And then, you know, at one point or another, I was like, well, is Guy Fieri food porn? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't want to say that Guy Fieri is food porn because that means I think there's something wrong with porn.
I have to say, I've actually eaten at his restaurant.
Really?
It was an interesting science experiment.
But I think more than that, I think James Dean Loves Food takes this food porn thing to it. I mean,
it's the natural conclusion.
I literally couldn't stop watching the ketchup clip the other day. I was saying to everyone earlier, like, if I died in work the other day when I was doing my research before my search engine had been cleared, my boss was like, oh, what have we had working in the office? How did you start? Where did that come from, James? Like, moving into all those food clips like the empanadas and...
Well, pretty much how it started was I decided randomly one day that I wanted to start reviewing restaurants on my blog. So let's go back even farther than that.
Yeah.
When I was in school, I had a guidance counselor, and they were trying to, like, you know, help me figure out what I would do when I grew up. And I told them that I wanted to be an adult performer. And they said, you know, they laughed and thought I was joking. And I was like, no, seriously, that's what I want. And then they were like, okay, well, what do you like to do? And I say, I like to eat, sleep, and have sex. And so I managed to turn one of those things into a profession. And then basically everything else was, I didn't really know how to capitalize on it. And one day I decided I was going to start doing these food reviews on my blog. And so I was doing them, and they're just joking, silly little things. And my buddy Leroy Myers, who is a director, and he also has started Wood Rocket, he contacts me and says, hey, man, you know, how about we do some of these? We videotape them and make a series out of it.
Yeah.
And so we started taping them, and it just kind of turned into what it is, where we just now, like, pretty much just eat and do anything consumable, and it has just anything that has to do with food, and just joke around, and you know, trying to take food porn to a whole new level. Because you know, on most of these other food porn shows that you're mentioning, as far as I know, they just do things with food. Yeah. I they have to like yell at me to keep my pants on because you know, fuck pants.
Yeah, I swear to God, I wanted to start this this clip with Rudy Ray Moore when he goes, "If I knew it was this kind of party, I wouldn't have put my dick in the mashed potatoes." But listen, all right, let's talk about some of your episodes. One of the ones that I really want to talk about specifically was about In-N-Out Burger. Mostly because In-N-Out Burger is a Christian organization. They are. They put
Bible verses
under, yeah,
in the cups.
Right. And In-N-Out Burger in itself is kind of a name.
Yeah, You
did the secret menu, which I didn't. I love In-N-Out Burger, but my friends in California had to show me about the secret menu. And the things on your show were like burger animal style, 3x3, double double, Flying Dutchman, protein salad. And I'm looking at this going, these could be sex acts.
Yeah, they could be. And it really offended me that they like would have this secret menu, but then any of the things that I tried to customize and create my own secret menu, they wouldn't be willing to do. Which makes no sense, because then how did these things become, you know, on their secret menu? Someone had to like invent them and give them a name. And then like the thing that bothered me the most, which if you watch the video, you'll see that, you know, they wouldn't make me an ice cream sandwich, even though they have all the things to make it. They have ice cream and they have bread. And all I wanted to do was put some ice cream in between two pieces of bread and hand it to me, and they wouldn't do it. So I ordered a shake and I ordered a plain burger, and then I just basically threw the burger on the floor and put the ice cream in between the bread, and then it was like ice cream sandwich, and I actually ate that, and it was gross.
I feel like more people
and I don't
were
recommend
like that,
doing that.
If more people showed that kind of initiative in this country, just imagine the things that could be achieved.
Oh man, we'd have so many. I made a 27 layer dip. I don't know if you've seen that one, but yeah, that was a thing.
So maybe you should do a cookbook, James.
Worst food ideas ever.
Yeah. I bet it would sell by the, you know, it would be one of those ones that you can get
Guy
at Christmas.
Guy Fieri has a cookbook, yeah, doesn't he?
Does it include sriracha donuts? Because yeah, that was one that I did.
That was we loved the D-Nuts episode. You know what I like about that is you showed basically what happens when I cook in my house. I make a complete mess, right? I take what I do when I cook in my house is I take $100 worth of ingredients, make $10 worth of food in it, and then tell my girlfriend to clean it up because I cooked.
Yeah, it was kind of similar, only it was a bunch of burly men on the crew that I told to clean up, which then I then ran and hid before they all beat me up, but you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, because you have sponsors now. Were the sponsors?
I don't know if we had some sponsors. We actually had a couple people that came on to, you know, because they were fans of the show and they either funded a couple episodes or they asked us to do a certain thing and work their product in or something like that. But I'm not. That would be above my pay grade, I'd have to say. I'm not in charge of the sponsorship. I'm more in charge of the eating.
Well, and again, this is one of the reasons we actually created this show, because we're obsessed with food. We love food. We think food is awesome.
Have you seen my movie Gluttony yet?
No, I haven't seen a movie Gluttony.
Yeah, he has.
Okay, so I'm doing this series on the seven deadly sins.
Really?
And really, it was just an excuse because there was like two scenes I wanted to shoot that kind of just fit in really well with some of the seven sins. So I ended up shooting a movie for each sin. And they're on my site. If you go to jamesneal.com, you can see them. And so if you check out Gluttony, it's basically a giant orgy where people are just shoving food in each other's mouths and having a food fight at the same time. And the camera's just, it's It's family. It's pretty interesting. If you like food and you like porn, it's definitely a good usage of both.
Well, that's a thing that we looked up earlier since we were doing some research on this show, which we never do, but we did this time. Okay, was feederism. In other words, there are different types of fetishes around food. That there's one specifically about feeding your partner, with the goal being to entice the person, to make the person happy, but also to
make them bigger.
Yes, yes. In other words, to consistently get them to be larger.
I blame Mickey Rourke for that.
9.5 weeks. Well, I mean, yeah, but the thing is, look, honestly, when it comes to food fetishes or any kind of fetish or anything, as far as I'm concerned, listen, man, whatever rocks your boat, that's all cool.
But yeah, I'm a big believer that everybody should just kind of do whatever they want as long as it's within, like, you know, as long as it's not hurting anyone else or violating anyone else's boundaries. Like, I think it's great when you find someone that, like, has, like, a really weird kinky fetish thing, and then they also find someone else that has a compatible kinky
it's
fetish
beautiful.
Thing. And then they pair off, and they do their weird kinky fetish things together. And I think it's wonderful, because then it leaves me, all the people that aren't into that, that are also, that I'm not into, and then, like, yeah, it just kind of works out wonderfully. But, you know, I don't know. People get too judgmental when it comes to other people's personal tastes. I actually, I have a lady friend, and she has a very good analogy about sex and food, and about how she always says, you know, like the idea of saying something is okay or not okay or something. It's I'm going to butcher this. You should probably just look it up. But it's basically, it's personal taste. You know, the idea of saying, like, oh, you don't like split pea soup. You know, man, I am totally butchering this. She has this whole thing, and I don't. Yeah, she's good at words.
It's like some people like soup, and some people like ice cream.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
And some people like ice cream in a hamburger bun.
And some people like their soup mixed in with their ice cream.
Yeah,
know?
And at the same time, you also have to do a... here, do you want to help me out with this? What is it? It's, you also have to start with, like, the food thing with this. I'm consulting. I'm asking for help.
you're doing your call-in.
I'm like, are you asking us or are you asking
someone?
It's phoning a friend. Or would you like to ask the audience?
What's
up there? Well, okay, back to the food fetishes for a second and judgments. And I'm going to be honest, there's one actually.
Okay, I consulted for help, and she said that there are multiple food analogies, but the one that I'm looking for is that you don't wander around at other people's restaurants looking over their shoulder at their plate and go, "Oh my God, ew!"
No, okay, but I'm glad you actually brought that up,
you know,
because
sexuality is the same thing. You got to let everybody, you know, do their own thing, and you know, if you're not into it, it's fine.
Okay, but I wander around. I don't wander around, but I sit in my own seat at a restaurant and watch everybody else's food go by and go, I should add that.
Yeah, that's
do you
fine
do that
because
with their
of the beauty about food and sex is that there's always another time to eat and there's always another time to have sex, and you can have that the next time, whether it be food or sex or food and sex, all of the above.
All right, well, let me. I'm gonna throw one last thing out there, and then we're gonna go to break. We want to talk more about food play. One of the things that we love about food play is we've talked about this a million different times, is splashing. Just wet and sloppy, right? And this is like my big, and this is a fetish I've had since I was a little mod kid when I was, you know, when I was growing up, and I watched Tommy, since we brought up Tommy before. It's so Anne Margaret get covered in chocolate and beans in that mad awesome scene and Tommy. But the thing, and maybe Orla, maybe you could talk on this a little bit.
Oh yeah,
because,
I could talk about splashing.
Well,
all
no,
day long.
I don't understand.
Thing,
I don't understand why it's so British.
Yes.
What is so British about this?
I think I'm going to throw out a theory as a not British person or English or Irish or whatever. Not. I think it's partly just because I feel like splashing is a react. Okay. A lot of times...
Repression.
You have... Yes, exactly. I was like, trying to think of a good thing to say. It's a reaction to repression.
Catholic guilt, repression, like, and the Victorian.
So
if you have
being covered in baked beans.
If you have a very, like, neat, repressed culture, it's really hot to, like, be very messy. It's like one of my friends who grew up in Japan was saying that Japan's pop culture is so insane, in part because their actual culture is super repressed. Mm. Like, they have, like, insane tentacle hentai because the culture itself is, like, very straight-laced and you can only do certain things at certain times in certain ways. And I feel like that's probably what the relationship between Britain and splashing is.
And it's also the whole thing where we don't really talk about our feelings, you know, like, as well, that we just, everything's, and I'm Irish, but, like, the whole stiff upper lip thing extends to Ireland as well. And so when you have all these things going on inside of you, they have to find that outlet.
You might
which
as well
is
have
baked beans.
Sexy food fight.
Baked beans and Marmite, kids. You've all been wrong.
And
it's
treacle.
Strawberries and cream. But listen, right. We have to go to break now, but we'll come back in a couple of minutes, and we're in the studio with Lux Alpetrum and James Dean, so come back and join us in a couple of minutes.
All right.
You are listening to She's Flexible by Hard Bodies.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Hi, I'm Reggie Watts, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
And welcome back to Eating Disorder. We have, I think, Paul calling from jolly old England. I think all that talk of splashing just made him want to get really in. But we might lose him. But are you there, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh.
For a huge delay.
No, you're just whining out of here. We're breaking up on us. Can you hear us?
It's like an episode of Charlie Brown.
Which is incidentally...
Yeah, you guys sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Oh, wait, we got that.
We got you. James, can you hear Paul?
I can hear you.
Great.
Paul's still the best one.
Paul, why don't you two chat amongst yourselves?
Well, I mean, since we ended it off with a little bit of the Japanese tentacle porn, two things I want to say. One of my favorite movies ever was Tracy Takes Tokyo, which was done when she was still underage, was Tracy Lords, and she does have sex with a octopus tentacle, which Hi. Is amazing, yeah, okay. But there is this phenomenon called Nyatomori, okay? Now, this is basically the idea of eating off of a naked person. If my girlfriend allowed me to do that, allowed me to do this with her, that'd be fine with me. If she wanted to do it off of me, which would be really gross because the food would be really hairy, all right, that would be fine as well. I have a problem with this, though. And the reason I have a problem with it is it's constantly kind of this elevated frat boy, businessman, power trip kind of thing. They have places in Midtown where you can do it. And I have a problem with it. I do.
Wait, they have places in Midtown?
Why would you let... use that to you? Why would you let it take you to that point when that's such a fantastic thing that you just described? Not the part of eating off of you that's disgusting, but the other stuff is great.
I mean, I just feel like
I'm too ADD for all this stuff. Like, I compartmentalize way too hard. And so if I'm, like, eating food, I'm eating food. And if I'm having sex, I'm having sex. And if I went into, a place and there was, like, a naked person that had food all over him, I would either have sex with the person and ignore the food, or I would eat the food and ignore the person. And then, like, when left, I would... If someone said, how was it? I would be like, yeah, the food was, you know, it was okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. There was a pube in the soup, which was disgusting. You know, I don't, and, you know, just completely, like, forget the fact that there was nudity involved.
So I feel like the stuff you're describing with, like, the Midtown frat boy stuff, mm-hmm. to me, it's just, like, it's just another form of sex work. And most of the time, if you're doing sex work, it's, like, the people who can pay for you to lie naked and get eaten off of are going to be frat boy douches.
Yeah.
And, like, it's this... The sacrifice you make for being professionally cool is that the people who give you money are usually people you don't want to hang out with.
But it's a horrible liberal in me that makes me think, like, you know, it makes me feel like, oh, you're would I pay? Do people pay for someone to be a footstool? Do people pay for someone to be a floor mat?
I'm sure they do. In BDSM context.
But that's different.
But isn't this kind of just like more mainstream BDSM?
It maybe, but again, the context is more like then they have a Super Bowl party around this. That's where it really kind of bothers me.
It's like BDSM.
I didn't think of doing it for paying for it. I thought about doing it in the privacy. That's how I did my.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's just like BDSM for boring people.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I think we're losing Ball.
Yeah, I think we might be losing Ball. But all right, so James, back to you for a second. A couple of things that I liked about your show were also the fast food kind of sojourns. The places that you went to, we already talked about In-N-Out, but you also went to Del Taco, my all-time fucking favorite fast food semi-Mexican place in the whole world.
Pollo Loco,
Del Taco.
Yeah, my favorite thing about that is apparently you can order, like, everything on the menu for, like, $47 or something like that. That's awesome. I once got really drunk in my entire life. I only got drunk once. But once I got really drunk, and my friend and I, we had $20.
Woo! Okay.
Is that us losing Paul? Or did we just lose James?
James, you there?
I need to hear voices. Hello.
Oh, cool. There we go.
Yeah. So one time I had $20 and I went to Del Taco and I thought that it was going to be like tough to feed like a house full of people. But no, we were able to like feed like I think something like, I don't know, it was something like 10 or 15 people for $20. It was awesome. And we had a food left over. We had just like so much food. Because if you like, you gotta, like they do those deals where if you order like, you know, three tacos, it's a dollar or something like that. And we just went on one of those days and like it was something like, how many is that? Three times 20? That's
60.
Like, yeah, 60 tacos for $20 or something ridiculous like that. Plus, like, it was insane. Lots of tacos.
Well, okay, but when you did the Del Taco thing and you also did the Pollo Loco thing, I saw the counter on your website. It was like 20 minutes from order to, you know, to actually pick up. And I keep wondering if the, you know, the stoner behind you is literally losing his mind.
Well, we actually usually do that in, you know, we're pretty respectful when we do it because I don't know, we're just a respectful bunch. So we actually make a point to, like, go when there's nobody going to be there. It's not like we go during, like, you know, like 7 p.m., 6 p.m. or anything like that. I think some of them we would go at, like, I think we went at, like, midnight to 1. Just there's no one there, and, you know, they were bored. They were laughing, having a great time because they were, you know, they weren't doing anything. So someone shows up and orders one of everything on the menu. It entertains them, and, you know, so.
We actually
have yet to have somebody behind us pissed off. At McDonald's, they refused to serve us. I got kicked out of McDonald's, so they tried to take our license plate down. And it was really weird because, like, our argument was, like, is there a crime against being hungry? It's not like we're, like, it's not a practical joke. We're going to pay for the food. Like, is this some sort of, like crime? And we're kind of hoping that they would call the cops just so we could be like, yeah, we ordered a bunch of stuff. They didn't give it to us. What's illegal about that?
Well, I mean, okay, you know, any plans to do it? One of my favorite places out in the West Coast. Any plans to do it at Wahoo's?
I don't even know what that is.
Wahoo's is awesome. It's the best fish taco place on the West Coast. It's further south from you guys, It's Southern California, but it's really awesome. It's a fish taco place. You don't drive through.
Have you been heavily? Have they been on the line to you?
No. Wahoos is awesome. The reason I'd love you to do it at Wahoos is they're more complicated. Like they're very much like In-N-Out Burger in the fact that you know you can mix and match a million different ways. But all right, let's move on.
So James, what are you thinking you'll do with future James Dean Loves Food? What's in the works with that?
Well, I've been trying to get everyone. I want to get like every type of frozen pizza at the grocery store, and then like review the different types of frozen pizza. We did one where I'd never made a meatloaf before. I'd never actually eaten meatloaf before, and so I took a bite of a meatloaf, and then I had to try to make a meatloaf based on what it tasted like. And I actually didn't. I mean, it wasn't great, but I was pretty impressed with my ability to make a meatloaf just off of taste. So I'd like to do more stuff like that.
Like, do you enjoy the actual cooking process, or do you just...
No, I don't. I enjoy the eating process, but I will do the cooking process because I enjoy the eating process that much.
I mean, I feel like I want to put you... Like, I'd love to put you and Paul in a kitchen together and have it.
Oh, that would be amazing.
We can do that. I'm down. Yeah. I mean, we can do a James Dean Loves Food episode where it's just like, we just we could call in $10 worth of food for $100. And we just proceed to just destroy
a
kitchen
like
by attempting to make food and just destroy this kitchen. Whatever comes out, we got to eat.
Well, maybe they could do a Union Hall at the Wonderful World of Boning.
I'm completely down. I think it would be fun.
All right, I want to talk about one last thing on your show that really I loved was the last meals portion, which was pretty awesome.
Yes.
Those are good because they're also educational.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I learned so much when I watched them.
It's important to learn things while eating food in a fake jail cell.
Dress like Elvis in that video for Jailhouse Rock. Gary Lee Brown.
Leon Brown.
Gary Leon Brown, right. Sorry. 2003, died of lethal injection. His last meal was?
I'm cheating.
Oh, no, it was an ice cream sandwich from a vending machine.
I liked that one.
Yeah, and which you stuffed into your mouth really lasciviously.
Well, because he was the one that killed, he like beat a gay guy or something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm double checking. Like I said, I'm totally cheating.
78 times he
does. Yeah.
No, it was actually, I have them all backed up on a hard drive right here. But I was just going to look when my computer's frozen because, you know, why would my computer actually work? So that was the ice cream sandwich, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the ice cream sandwich, yeah. So basically that guy, as far as I remember, he beat up a gay guy or killed some gay guy or something like that. It was like a hate crime like that. Mm-hmm. And then he ordered an ice cream sandwich. And so, you know, I'm not a big fan of hate crimes or bigotry or anything like that. And so I decided to mock the dead by insinuating that this guy had a little repressed issue by smearing an ice cream sandwich all over my face and making it look like male ejaculate and then squeezing it and having it actually shoot out all over my face. That was my fuck you to the dead. Killer or something. I don't know.
It's the Mel Brooks approach to things, like with the producers. You mock the most hidden.
Yeah, yeah.
You take
thing.
Its power away by mocking.
Yeah. And also he's dead. So what's he gonna do? You know? I feel like I got one over on him.
All right. So listen, we got a few minutes left, and the one thing we haven't talked about is actually food in porn.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, have you been asked to, or have there been any situations where you've actually been asked to perform with food?
Yeah. The whole gluttony thing with the seven
things. Okay, cool, all right.
That one, that I feel like I answered this question before you asked it. I jumped the gun. I'm so sorry. and then in addition to that, there was this one time where I was supposed to do this video with this girl. It was supposed to be like a hand job, but like, you know, sensual thing, and we were supposed to be in the kitchen, and she was supposed to like take honey and like drape it over me and lick it up and then like jerk me off and stuff like that, and it got really out of hand and it just turned into a food fight. So pretty much it's 20 minutes of the two of us squirting like mustard and ketchup and like honey and like just basically going in the fridge and like tomatoes were being smashed. It was insane, and doing this for like 20 minutes while I'm completely flaccid and we're just like rolling around on the floor and food laughing hysterically, and at the end I jerk off on her. So the whole thing was just very bizarre, and it didn't go even close to how the director intended it. And then he just kind of like finished and was like, "All right, well, I'll see what I can do with that." And so that he sold it as a splashing fetish over to a company based out of guess where.
England.
I was going to say, I bet that one sold big numbers transatlantically. Oh, darling, I'm just off to get some honey.
Mm-hmm. Right, guys, we're gonna wrap it up, but before we do, we always give you the opportunity to plug yourselves shamelessly. James, you're plugging anything right now?
I got a store, a James Dean store, where you can get shirts and stuff.
Where would that be?
Pretty cool, and DVDs and like stickers.
Is that off Wood Rocket?
And sex toys. I got a sex toy line. You can buy that there. And I got jamesdean.com where you can see, I don't know, just Google James Dean. If you go to jamesdean.com and click on stuff, you'll be able to get everywhere. And
I just have a question. Paul's just, he's clearly desperate to ask this question. He's just texted me from the UK. He's getting all like repressed in English and all of his inhibitions are like, text, I need to text Orla. But and I'm going to try to do it in my Brooklyn accent because I feel like I need to represent the boys. But he's like, ask him which porn star tastes best.
Which porn star does what?
Tastes best. I mean, I don't know if that...
Tastes best.
Tastes?
Tastes best, like the Pepsi Challenge, I guess.
Well, like, you want me to cut off pieces of flesh from different porn stars?
That is the most diplomatic, gentlemanly
answer. Once again,
answer.
That was last week. Cannibalism was last week. All right, well, Lux, where can we find you in the future?
LuxAlptrom.com or on Twitter at LuxAlptrom, LuxAlptraum. And I'll be at Union Hall September 26th at 8 p.m.
Woo. And we made out once.
We did.
Oh, wait, I thought you didn't like guys.
No. That's not true.
Oh, okay, I'm wrong.
I like all people.
All right, no, that's not what I meant.
Sexually.
All right,
well, thank you so much, both of you, for taking time out of your day. Paul, we miss you, and thanks for that groundbreaking question. Not things you do for your friends.
Later on, people.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.